You're listening to an interview taken from the Tonic Talk Show and Podcast, heard exclusively on Zoomer Radio. To download or listen to the original episode or other episodes of The Tonic, please visit thetonic.ca.
Lauren J. Fine, B-A-L-L-B, is a well-known and experienced lawyer in Toronto whose practice is solely dedicated to the area of family and divorce law. He graduated from Osgoode Hall Law School and was called to the bar in 1992. He's the senior managing lawyer at Fine & Associates Professional Corporation, Family and Divorce Lawyers. Lauren has been interviewed on several occasions regarding family law issues in Ontario, including appearances on Global Television, CHCH Television. He was the resident family divorce lawyer for the radio program Gold Hawk Fights Back on AM 740, which is this station. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me.
So it's so almost intuitive, but I would imagine that COVID-19 has really impacted the practice of law in general, but in particular, your practice of family law, yes?
Oh, in many ways. Yes, in many ways.
So how do you see COVID impacting married couples? Let's just start there.
Well, obviously, COVID has impacted everyone's lives. It's impacted the economy, the education system, how we socialize. And as far as having an impact on married couples, it really has put a stress on people's relationships. People are dealing with stress, anxiety, depression, financial pressures, and marriages that were strained prior to COVID, this only puts an additional strain on those relationships. And it really gets exacerbated as a result of the pandemic. So, you know, people are forced to stay at home, to spend more time together. People have lost their jobs. People are suffering financially. So it's only making things worse. You know, there's something called Divorce Month, which is January, and that's after the holidays and after people spend a lot of time together. And this is only worse because people are spending more and more time together.
Right.
And so really it's making relationships that are difficult even worse.
Right. We're all in a cloistered environment. And if you're having problems, it's only going to make it worse. It's just bringing everything into focus, I think.
Right.
All right. So that's the problem. And theoretically, our legal system is there and designed to help us sort of work through this problem. If you can't stay together, well, divorce is the option. But let's talk about what's going on in the system. Are the courts actually having hearings? Like, can you have a divorce hearing at this point?
Well, before pre-COVID, the system was strained in any event. You could still go to court when you wanted to. There may be some delay. But now, during COVID, courts were initially closed. And they're reopening slowly, which has only resulted in a huge backlog of people waiting to get access to justice, get access to see a court. So people who are separating may not get in front of a judge for months on end. So really now the courts are only hearing matters on an emergency-only basis. So urgent matters like child abductions, restraining orders, child abuse cases, it has to be really urgent. So it is having an impact on people. And because of that, sometimes people are considering alternative processes to deal with disputes. But if the matter is not pressing, the courts won't hear it.
And there's no way to dance around that. Like, going to a lawyer with more experience doesn't mean you're getting into court sooner. It really is factually driven. If there's, like, physical danger or emotional danger, those are the types of things the court is interested in.
Right. Like, I was acting for a client who wanted to sell the matrimonial home, and we brought a motion to try to sell the matrimonial home. Obviously, she was concerned about the impact of COVID on property values. This was at the outset of COVID. And the court said they just wouldn't hear the motion. That it's not urgent, we're not hearing the motion, so we have to adjourn it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the structural changes to the court that's impacting the way people have to go through their divorce.
Well, you know, because of COVID, the courts have been forced to change very quickly. Usually the court system is slow. So in one sense, COVID has been beneficial in that all of a sudden the courts have been forced to utilize technology to assist people. So now you can email by filing materials. You can use affidavits sworn by video conference. Motions and conferences are heard by way of Zoom. So the courts are becoming more efficient as a result of adapting these technologies due to COVID. It's long overdue, and I think it's forced the system to innovate, and it's only beneficial.
Okay, so, you know, as a former litigator, although I never practiced family laws, you know, part of the delays would be sometimes you'd have to wait a week or two just to get the result from the judge.
Right.
Are things expediting now? Are the judges more mindful about getting answers to people?
Well, they are. I don't think it's any faster necessarily. It's just that you don't, you know, before you went to court, you'd have to sit there for almost all day to get heard for 15 minutes to half an hour or an hour. Now, the court tells you you're going to have a hearing at noon, and you'll know that the judge will call you at noon, and that's when you're going to be heard. So, in one sense, it's become more efficient. But as you know, as a former litigator, when parties are in court, there's a certain catalyst that people talk and so on when you're in court.
Yep.
So because you don't have that, in the sense that's not the greatest because people aren't talking as they would when you're in the courtroom steps. So there's pros and cons to the system.
Well, how's your practice adapted? Like, and what are you seeing from people in the industry? Are lawyers changing the way they're doing things?
Well, you're doing a lot more by video conferencing, a meeting with people by way of FaceTime or Zoom. And some people, you know, sometimes I meet people in person, obviously social distancing and so on, but you can see people a lot faster. I recently had a Zoom mediation, which was interesting in that the mediator had everybody in separate rooms and we could conference together and we had breakout rooms. So things are changing. And like I said, I think things are becoming more efficient in some ways.
Okay, so we sort of talked generally about how COVID is impacting people's sort of marital relationships.
Yeah.
But in the context of the litigation, there's subsets of issues for people, whether that's support or child support. What's happening with COVID with respect to that and custody, et cetera?
Well, for custody access issues, as I said before, if there's no existing court order, it makes things more difficult because if it's not urgent, the court is not going to entertain any kind of motions. There is a number of cases dealing with whether or not children should attend school in person or online.
Right.
And, you know, the courts have said they're not going to question the government's decision, but they still have to consider the best interests of the kids. And there's certain tests that the courts go through, whether it's the best interest of the child to attend at school or not. You know, what's the risk of exposure to COVID that the child will face, whether the child is or a member of family is increased risk of COVID, you know, whether the child faces mental health or social or economic challenges, proposed plans or measures to alleviate the risk to the child and the child's wishes. So these are all things that the courts have had to deal with. And as I said before, if it's not urgent, the court really isn't going to hear it.
You know, I know as a lawyer, every client believes that their matter is urgent, right? Because otherwise, why would you be at a lawyer, right? If you could work it out without a lawyer, it wouldn't be urgent.
Right.
So are you finding that it's facilitating more agreements? Are people just saying, yeah, you know, in order to get this done, you know, I'll take 90% of what I want, not 100, because, you know, I can't get before a court to have this resolved?
Well, sometimes you would think that may make people reasonable. You know, that's not always the case. You know, sometimes people would say, okay, I can't get the court. Now I really have to consider alternative ways to resolve my dispute, whether it's mediation or arbitration or something to that effect. And obviously, it takes two to tango. It takes both parties that want to do that. So that's not always possible. And sometimes you just have to wait. You know, like, for instance, my motion that I mentioned before about selling the house, the husband just doesn't want to sell, and it's not going to happen until the court's open.
Right.
So some people just aren't reasonable.
Yeah. And I suppose the courts are just going to have to take a hard look at whether or not people are using the pandemic to their advantage. The fact that the courts aren't as accessible doesn't mean you can act out, right?
Right.
So let's talk about something that might be very important and might be an emergency, and that would be support, right? Like, if you need money for rent, if you need money for your mortgage, et cetera, and you're not getting it from a spouse, what's happening with people now?
So as far as child support goes, child support is reviewed on an annual basis. So the Family Law Act provides that every year you're supposed to review and readjust your support. So far, the courts have not heard matters necessarily dealing with child support, because they say, okay, you'll just adjust it. It's possible to vary it. Let's see what happens. Because everyone knows this is temporary. We don't know how long COVID is going to last. I would say spousal support is more of a concern, because unlike child support, spousal support, you don't adjust on an annual basis. So I think if things continue the way they are, if people continue to suffer economically, I think the courts are going to have to hear these type of motions dealing with spousal support and child support, because no one knows how long, obviously, COVID is going to last.
Yeah, the longer we go, the more dire these things are going to be, right?
Like,
you touched on it before. I mean, obviously, most people's largest assets, although some people have pensions, are their matrimonial homes.
Right.
And COVID, although, you know, Toronto real estate market is hot, I presume, you know, dealing with that asset has become that much more difficult, yeah?
Well, yeah. Strange enough, the market has not really impacted the value of people's houses. In fact, it's increased. But some other assets have decreased in value. So, you know, we have people who are of a higher net worth who would say, who may say, okay, now my net worth is worth less.
Yeah.
And because when you divide property, you're looking at the increase in value from the date of marriage to the date of separation. So if somebody knows that their net worth is now less than it was 6 months ago or a year ago, they may be more willing to pull the trigger and separate. So we see that as far as property issues are concerned.
Okay, so we have time for one last question, and that is, if somebody is contemplating going through a divorce now during COVID,
right,
what's your best advice?
Consult a lawyer. Evaluate your options. Don't reach any agreement without doing that. You know, consider mediation, arbitration, collaborative processes, because really it's very difficult to get a result through the courts. And be child-focused and realize that the situation is temporary, that this is not going to be a forever situation.
Okay. So keep your powder dry and just sort of logically work through it. And obviously, you want to go to somebody who knows what they're doing to help give you advice on how to move forward, yeah?
That's the best thing to do, yes.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Will you come back next month?
Sure. If you'll have me.
I'll have you.
Okay.
That was Lauren Fine.